When new research shows a dozen super spreaders of disinformation were behind most of the growth of online activity during the Parliament protest. The Disinformation Project, part of Te Punaha Matatini, studied data from tens of millions of online posts, tweets and comments, alongside hundreds of hours of live-streamed footage from the protest. Director of the project, Kate Hannah, told RNZ's First Up, these key personalities essentially became broadcasters, getting different people on board with their ideas.
They tend to act as a collective of a set of uniform voices and messages, but with a style that appeals to different parts of an audience. As you can imagine, you know, not everybody listens to the same radio station in the morning, right? But you have to have a variety of different voices across the platform to appeal to everybody.
The co-author of the study, Sanjana Hatotua, is with us now. Kia ora, thank you for talking to us. What does this tell you about what is happening in that mis and disinformation space in New Zealand?
A lot is happening, just as a consequence of the parliamentary protests, but also leading up to it and after it. And none of it is very good. We call it path dependencies. And that's kind of like the weather report listeners heard just before this segment. We have a long-term weather report, and it doesn't look very good if what we saw and observed and studied in those 4 to 5 weeks continues at pace. And it does seem to be continuing. The very easy way of understanding this is to locate in our Aotearoa what one would have generally associated with and read about the United States after 2016. And that gives you a hint about how what starts online has consequences offline and eviscerates our democratic fabric and our electoral integrity as well as our social cohesion.
For you, what is the most worrying part of this study?
Well, we need to ask better questions, I think. The study is gives life to the urgent need to have better questions in the public domain, better questions from government and our public institutions to really help the public and the government and regulatory institutions and other institutions that help whānau and community better grasp this nettle, which is not just an online phenomenon, but an offline one as well. And if you don't ask the questions that are worth asking and are valid and urgent to be asked, they're going to miss the bus.
What do you mean by that?
If we don't understand the phenomenon, if we don't understand the producers and how they're doing what they're doing, the provenance, the art of what they're doing, the strategic devices, the tactics, and the highly sophisticated, extremely motivated networks behind all of this. This is a tapestry. This is a choreography that one needs to see the script of. It's not new and unique to Aotearoa. It's been played out, including in my country and the Global South, for over a decade. But it's new in the pace and the scale, speed, and scope of what's happening here. It's unprecedented. And that is, I think, the challenge that policymakers and institutions have here. I always say it's like a tropical disease in Antarctica. You wouldn't associate malaria or dengue, and if one were to see it there, you won't ask the questions because you just wouldn't think that it would survive in that environment. And that's kind of what we're having with mis and disinformation in Aotearoa. It's new. We need to ask the questions. If you don't ask the questions, it's not going to look good.
And what do we need to do about it?
It's a broad social conversation, I would imagine. I mean, just simplistic turning off the tap insofar as deplatforming and other regulatory measures that are founded on this binary logic of retaining them on a platform or taking them off, I think needs to now evolve into broad social, political, community-oriented, people-oriented conversations that have three tiers. One is what we can discuss in our whānau and community. The other is what civil society can do. Another is what government can do. And another, a very important aspect, is what social media companies can do. And this is particularly pertinent in the days just after the Buffalo killing and the work, the sterling work of the Christchurch call to ensure that harms on these platforms don't migrate at the pace that one would have seen in March 2019. So progress has been made, but much more needs to be done.
And also here, you know, obviously the parliamentary protest was some weeks ago now. So what has happened in that interim time with some of these individual accounts, what are they focusing on now?
They've pivoted. So that's not in the report, but it's got worse in one way, where the networks and the subscribers and the followers and the trust that the networks have in content that has no basis in reality, evidence, science, or fact, has now pivoted in the conversations, in the discourse, in the targeting to elections and to electoral campaigns and to climate change and a whole raft of conspiratorialism, a smorgasbord of conspiratorialism related to the WHO, the UN, 1080 and other matters, including three waters and other domestic policies that existed before the pandemic, were exacerbated on account of the pandemic, and will continue afterwards as well. So the pivoting to electoral matters is of significant concern because, again, of the potential for the evisceration of our democratic institutions and electoral integrity. Basically, what we are looking at, quite simply put, is an embryonic proto-stop-the-steal movement.
Thank you very much for your time this morning. Sanjana Hatotua there, co-author of that study from the Disinformation Project.